What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Hello, welcome to another World of UX podcast. This is your host, Darren Hood. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. Welcome, those of you who are listening to the podcast for the first time, those of you discovering us on YouTube, those of you discovering us on Spotify, all the different places where you can get podcasts. Just thank you for taking the time to share your day with me and tapping into the show. For those of you who might not be familiar with me, I don't know why, but this hits me. Just give a little bit of an introduction. I am a UX practitioner who has been doing this work since before it was called UX, dating all the way back to 1995, where I got pulled in, so to speak, with a company who wanted to rush to the internet like everybody else, a nonprofit who I was always the guy people would come to when they needed something done that involved technology. So here I am again, right place, right time. And for those of you who did not know, a lot of us who were doing UX in the earlier days, we were not making decisions to get into UX work. It was falling into our lap. And so this was something that is quite common for people to just have fallen into the discipline. I was there. I was interested in what it was that they needed to do. I was interested in the internet. I was interested in helping this organization establish an internet presence. And that's how I got my start. And so that's sort of what we're going to talk about tonight a little bit, though today will be a little bit of a segue. So I've been doing this work for 30 years, fell in love with it, was going in a completely different direction, decided to what I call mortgage my future with regard to instructional design training, because that's what I was doing full-time before. And I also had an IT background. I had a little bit of HR that was blended in with all of that. But I just fell in love with doing this kind of work. When I helped that organization get on the internet, it was, hey, we want to make this as easy to use as possible. It just made sense to me. We're going to have navigation, or we're going to need to have navigation, and we need to have the right terms up there so people understand what they're navigating to. They need to be able to complete tasks. It needs to be as simple as possible. These are the things that hit me up front. No books, no formal training, no nothing. There are people who actually believe that I'm this big advocate on education, and I have two UX-related master's degrees, but folks, I got that after the fact. I was self-taught. This is amazing how people like to paint pictures to fit whatever narrative they're trying to establish about you. And it's usually not a good thing when somebody's trying to fabricate a narrative, but I fell in love with it. And that's sort of what we want to talk about today in a little bit of a segue tonight, where we've been talking about the subject of harsh realities of UX maturity. But a lot of times when we're trying to just provide a little bit of a break from our standard content, we tend to do these things. I refer to them as a UX potpourri. And so tonight is a UX potpourri night. I'm going to be talking a little bit about UX maturity, but this is not an official part of the series. This is going to be a bit of a potpourri segment with a UX maturity type of a bent to it, if you will. And so just I just think because of some of the things we've been doing recently, I think some people need to understand where I'm coming from. What is it that sparks what I'm talking about? Why do I talk about the things that I talk about? Why are these things important? Why should you care? Why do you need to know these things? Do they have any merit at all? Are they going to benefit the people that hear them? And that's sort of kind of where we're coming from tonight. And then I'll mix a couple of sort of somewhat, I call it potpourri, just a mix of different topics with no real structure tonight, just informal, just a fireside chat, if you will. It's just me by myself. I usually have fireside chats and I'll have guests that will talk about different things, but I just want to talk about some different topics that popped up during the week, and I'll sprinkle a little bit of UX maturity in with each of these. But continuing where I was, my background was as such, just to bring the UX maturity piece in here now. When I started off, I didn't have any UX maturity. If you're starting off, you don't have any UX maturity. And it's something that you develop over time. I happened to, looking back at it, I made some good decisions with what I was trying to do with that organization that was trying to get on the web. And it blossomed immediately into an agency, if you will, a little design operation. We'll just call it an operation. It was called Impact New Media Studios, which is my little side business that I had back starting in the 1995, back in that arena. And I started doing websites for local law firms. I was doing websites for athletes. I was the webmaster for a newspaper in the state of Michigan and helped rebrand their entire user experience. Because people were going out to the internet, folks, and they really didn't know. They knew they wanted to be on the internet, but they didn't know how to put an experience out there that was going to actually work. Spending time learning about the user base, spending time. I didn't know the term information architecture. I didn't know the term mental models. I didn't know the term cognitive load. I didn't know anything about semiotics. I didn't have any formal training or understanding whatsoever. But boy, did I start building a library. And there were books that were being published. I made it a point to dive into those books, things that folks need to do now. My point is this. Everybody starts somewhere. And I've been spending a little bit more time than I normally do helping people who are in those earlier stages of their careers to really settle down and to not drink the Kool-Aid that a lot of people have been offering to try to get you to think that you're further along at what you are. If you have only been doing this work for 1 to 3 years, you are an entry-level person. Even though today people will smack a senior title on you after a year or two, and some people are getting managers and director gigs after they've only been doing the work for 1 or 2 years, but your UX maturity, it's not fair. If you will have the courage to recognize, to honestly look at where you are in your journey, realize that there are things that you need to double back and learn, that you need to really get under your belt, that is going to really help you to vault you forward the right way as a UX professional. It will help to benefit your teams. It will benefit the discipline as a whole. And no matter who you are today, whatever you are doing in the discipline, not for the discipline, but in the discipline, has direct impact on the discipline at large. How people perceive us, what they expect from us, how they interact with us. All of these things are critical. And so how we view ourselves plays into that. It plays into that. When I was coming along, if I just decided to just do whatever and not be concerned with where my acumen level was, to honestly look at myself, to judge myself accurately, and then proceed accordingly, if I was not honest with myself, I would not be where I am today. And boy, if you want to hear something funny, so I start doing this work in 1995. I don't start doing UX work full time until 2005. I went to work for a local bank in the metropolitan Detroit area where I reside, and everybody there has been doing the work full time longer than me, of course. But I immediately, in order to grow, you sort of kind of have to forget who you are and don't, I mean, and I had not been doing the work full time. So I was just looking to learn. I wanted to learn. I wanted to grow, learn, grow. Just, and when you really want to learn and you really want to grow, you're not running around trying to find excuses to pat yourself on the back. You're just looking for opportunities to grow, and you're embracing these opportunities. You're recognizing what a tremendous benefit these types of experiences are going to be. And that's what I did. And so I just continued to grow. I continued to learn. I continued to deliberately look at what I could do to get better. I challenged myself. I tried to identify what my strong suits were, what my weak points were, embrace them. Don't sit and try to defend or avoid these things. But it is so important to understand who you are in the discipline. And there are so many people today. I saw a post. I've started making rounds after, I know you folks have heard me talk about this before. Those of you who have listened to the show for any length of time, you've heard me, I'm sure, at some point talk about how much I really hate Reddit. I am actually hanging out on Reddit for the first time in my career, and I am starting to have conversations with people that I was not able to have. Because a lot of the people who are on that lower UX maturity spectrum, a lot of those people are very, very, I found. If you're not what I'm about to describe, I'm glad. And I've probably met you or people like you, but a lot of the people who know that they don't have anything, they're extremely defensive about who they are. They are very defensive about what they do not know. They do not embrace it. They are very difficult to interact with. And I ran into a lot of that in my earlier days on Reddit, and I couldn't deal with it. And I stayed away. I've started having more conversations with people out there, and I am so shocked and surprised, wonderfully surprised and delighted to see people are actually starting to realize things that I've been saying for years that people wanted me to shut up about, or people kept trying to question me. You have data for that? Why are you talking about that? People are starting to, I go through a lot of posts on Reddit without responding. People are starting to recognize and starting to talk about stuff that I have been saying for years. They are starting to actually wake up and embrace these things and realize that these things are a problem, that these things are really happening, that I've been talking about, that they are a problem. They've been starting to do the same thing. You got to embrace what you don't know, but don't worry about it. It doesn't mean that you're bad. It doesn't mean that you're unqualified at what you do. It doesn't mean that you're this terrible person who everybody needs to. That's not what any of it means. And I was never saying that when I was calling things out. I was trying to bring things to people's attention because it requires that in order to do the right thing. You have to realize where you are. If you don't realize, some of you know about my blog post I've got out there called Doubling Back for a Moment. I have a blog post called There's a Nail in Your Tire, or The Way to Embrace Constructive Criticism as a UX Professional. If you have a nail in your tire, you need to recognize you have a nail in your tire. If the floor is dirty, you need to realize the floor is dirty. When you realize you have a nail in your tire, you do something about it. When you realize the floor is dirty, if you want a clean floor, then you go and you get the mop and you get busy. If you realize that your gasoline tank is almost on E, then you know it's time to go to the gas station. Recognizing that you are falling short in something does not mean something bad. It simply means you need to take action. That's all it means. And if you are low on gas and you're determined to drive, you know that you only have 35 miles to go before your tank is, you're out and you're in trouble. If you know that and you keep driving without thinking about, you refuse to, you're just driving past gas stations and just going along your merry way, that is a problem. It's a problem because you're in denial. Now we do have a problem. And I have encountered a lot of people that are that person. They have a nail in their tire and they're not going to do anything about it. They have a nail in their tire and they're not going to make any changes whatsoever. They have a nail in the tire and they continue to just celebrate this wonderful vehicle that they have, not realizing that the longer you drive with that nail in that tire, the more danger you're going to be in. And that's why I like to use that metaphor, because of it really helps to illustrate where a lot of people are. So people have been, they'll say, Darren, you intimidate me. Let's break that down for a moment. And that is not a UX maturity thing, but it's a maturity thing. I understand why people feel intimidated. I've talked to people about it. I've talked to people who used to feel intimidated. And then when they sat down and started talking to me, the more they talked to me, the more the intimidation went away, because they realized there was nothing to be intimidated about. And when they realized that I was in their corner and I was actually trying to do things to help vault them forward, I was trying to pull them up to a higher state, higher stance, if you will, the intimidation was gone. When they realized that I was on their team and not against them, I refused to compete with anybody. That's not an mostly intelligent thing to do. But when people realized I was not at odds with them, that I was not against them, that I was actually pulling for them, everything changed. When they start realizing that the things I said was actually going to benefit them, things changed. And so it's sort of like a heyday for that right now. Like some people, I'm starting to see more people, again, recognize what I was saying. Some because they listen to me, some because they just, eventually you're going to wake up. I just wish people would wake up sooner than later, because that's wasted time if you don't, and just addicted to efficiency like that. But it's so important to understand who you are. It's so important to understand where you are. And the faster you understand who you are and the faster you understand where you are, the quicker you are going to make progress. Progress that you're going to enjoy immensely. So I encourage people, and please don't see me as the enemy. I am not your enemy, unless you are just, if you are set on being a person who's just going to drown in inferiority complexes and you refuse to grow in emotional intelligence, then yeah, you probably do right to think I'm your enemy. But then again, but I'm never against you. No matter how you perceive me, I am never against you. And I think people should understand that as well. I think that there's some benefit in that today. So yeah, this, I grew in UX maturity. You can and will, if you commit to it, grow in UX maturity. I am still growing in UX maturity. And even when you have reached a certain, we never arrive. I say that all the time. I say it again. We never arrive. It's important to understand that there's always an area to grow in. My thing now is AI. I'm growing in AI. I'm growing. I want to grow when it comes to virtual reality, when it comes to augmented reality, when it comes to conversational UX. These are things that I've never worked on a consistent basis with. I've never been responsible for any of those things in my job. These are all areas, and I don't have to wait. Because what if they don't do that in my job? And currently, my current job, they don't. So I need to deliberately engage in ways to grow and develop my UX maturity in that area. And the rest of us, same thing. How strong are you at information architecture? How good are you at, I mentioned it earlier, semiotics? How good are you at that? These are topics, and to the crowd out there, well, Darren, you're mentioning it. How do they do it? You know how to grow. I'm talking to adults. So all I need to do is give you a jumping off point. If you're an adult, then you will understand I'm not the only resource. There are other people out there and you can tap into. I will give you the thought. I'll plant the seed. Somebody else will come along and give you the rest of that. There's a time that I'll do it. I'm not going to do it right now. There's a time that I'll do it, but tonight I won't. Tonight I just need to convince somebody to commit to growing That is a major part of UX maturity, to embrace the need to grow, to sell yourself on the importance, the value proposition of growing. Because you don't just grow. You have to arrive at a certain point mentally, emotionally, and psychologically before growth can take place. A lot of people are stopping their own growth because of where they choose to camp out and who they choose to listen to. So I'm just trying to help people understand this one piece of the puzzle. Somebody else will come along with another piece, and then you'll find out that I'll have another piece for you down the road that's going to help you grow again. It's just amazing the things that people present that keep people from growing, and they don't even understand it. So I'm just here to give you a piece. So that's just one part that I wanted to, I didn't even intend on talking about all that today, but I think it's important that some people understand that and understand how I fit in your journey. I'm just here to give you a peek. And then I'll have another piece for you down the line about something else, and another piece. And then there's 15, 20, 30, 100 other people that have pieces that are going to help you grow as an individual. So understand all these things. Speaking of Reddit, I came across an interesting post. Talk about pieces. You go out to Reddit, LinkedIn, everywhere, and there's, how many posts do you come across? How many thoughts? And all of them provide this one little piece that helps us to build who we are. And I saw this post that was a really interesting question. It was not a rhetorical question. And I decided to talk about this on the show, in this potpourri segment. A person said, you can find it. Go out there. It's in the UX career questions subreddit. Somebody said, what is a UX truth that you believed early in your career that you don't believe anymore? Why did I find this interesting? I find this interesting, and I'll share my response first. My response, and I'm paraphrasing this, though now some of you are going to know who I am out there because nobody uses their real name for the most part on Reddit, and I didn't either because I didn't think that's what you're supposed to do, so I didn't. But you'll find me. I'm UX Uncensored out on Reddit. And I responded, and I said, it's interesting. Misinformation did not exist in UX pretty much prior to 2011. You could partake of practically anything anywhere prior to 2011, and anything that you encountered would vault you forward. Since 2011, if you don't have a filter, which the vast majority of people in UX today, I would venture to say that most people now were not in UX prior to 2011. So the people who were not in UX prior to 2011, they missed the history. They missed the pivot. They missed the change of the titles predominantly from interaction designer, from information architect, from UX architect was one of the first UX related titles that you would see out there. And that started about 2009. They didn't see any of that. They didn't see the fact that you did not fake your way into a UX role prior to 2011, like a lot of people are doing today. You didn't see a horde of people who didn't know anything about UX running UX departments prior to 2011, like you do today. But back to my response, I said, well, because there was no misinformation, that's where I made that little segue. There was no misinformation prior to 2011. So I was pretty fortunate in that everything that I believed, I still use and is still relevant in 2026. A lot of people, because they were not in UX prior to the advent of misinformation, a lot of people are doing a lot of things. They're going to answer those questions are going to be all over the place, because people who came into UX since 2011, a lot of them have learned things that have no merit. And I did go on to mention in another part of that discussion that it's interesting that they were talking about process. The people who went to boot camps were taught the importance of process, which was one of the most ridiculous things. We were not taught about process prior to 2011. The company had a process and you followed that process. Nobody was talking a whole lot about design processes prior to 2011. Well, Darren, they weren't talking about design thinking. No, they weren't. It didn't come up. Nobody was talking about that stuff. And you didn't have a sticky fest prior on the wall in the conference room prior to 2011. You didn't do it. A lot of times there was a brief. There was a project brief. You understood what we were trying to accomplish. We would go out and I've been using Jesse James Garrett. Shout out to him. He didn't present the five planes as a design process. I just found it was a good way to work. And that's how I started working in 2003. But I was also already doing those same things. I just adopted that as an approach to the work. When I started seeing things like design thinking, when I started seeing double diamonds and things like that, as those things came along later, I just kept doing five planes and then just retrofitted it because all processes are basically the same. That's what I went on to say in this discussion. All processes are basically the same with very small differences. And for the most part, is differences in terminology. The bottom line is you're going to come up with a product. If you haven't heard my talk called Design Processes Are Overrated, then I highly recommend go and check that out and see what thoughts it fosters for you. See what it triggers for you. But if you go in and observe it, you'll find the same thing. Everybody's doing the same thing. They're just calling it different things and doing somewhat different things, sometimes at different stages. And there's sometimes an extra little step here or there. But basically speaking, it's all the same. It's all the same stuff. And so we just had some interesting, we went back and forth a little bit. And then I shared some things about historically what has happened in UX because people, again, who were not here to see what happened in 2006, they just simply don't know. The boot camps aren't sharing that with anybody. A lot of these people claiming to be gurus, they don't know anything about that. They weren't here. A lot of people don't read any of the books. They don't know anything about the inmates who run the asylum. They don't know anything about phase. They don't know anything about Richard Saul Wurman's books on information architecture. They don't know anything about the polar bear book. They don't know anything about a lot of the stuff that a lot of us embraced and grew up living by. They know nothing about it. They don't know who Christina Wacky is. They don't know who Susan Wineshank is. They don't know who Kelly Goto is. They don't know any of these things what these people talked about. They don't know any of the things that they talked about. They don't embrace any of it. And a matter of fact, a lot of people, a lot of things, the only thing a lot of people and things know, or a lot of people know, things that people know, I should say, are these Johnny-come-lately things, some of which are just rehashed, giving no real points of reference to what preceded them. You know, people talking about laws in UX. Everything that people refer to as laws of UX already existed. And if you were part of or tapping into the Interaction Design Foundation, then you see these things. You know these things. You were going through their encyclopedia of HCI. You already knew. So there was no surprise. You already knew about Human Factors International, and you were already tapping into the resources out there. You were already reading UX Magazine. You were already looking at UX Matters. So these things were already a part of your life. But if you weren't aware of these things, it looks like, oh man, that sounds wonderful. And then a lot of these people won't tell you where they got stuff from because they're trying to be a go-to source. They're trying to achieve a level of UX celebritism that's really a facade. So it's just interesting. So if you were not in the discipline, challenge yourself. I challenge you. Go out there, learn the history. Learn what was going on. Learn how things changed. Learn when they changed. This discipline is roughly about 30 years old, a tad older than that. But it wasn't until the advent of the internet that UX began to vault forward. And it wasn't even called UX back then. And it doesn't matter what it was called, but that's just a historical milestone that is good to be aware of. And then to understand, when did they start saying UX, UI? We talked about that last week. When did that start becoming commonplace? Why did it become commonplace? Should it be commonplace? Everybody needs to know and understand these things, because if you do not, that factors into your UX maturity. Whether you like it or not, it factors into your UX maturity. These are all realities that we have to deal with, and it's important. But I'm going to start to come in for a landing, and it's just a wonderful post, wonderful engagement. It was interesting to see what people thought. And it's interesting to see how many people bought into the whole visual design dominant type of an approach. That was a complete joke. And it has caused and continues to cause so many problems for people in UX. Folks, just something. We are not visual designers. That is one of the things that we're involved in the least. And there was a day when we used to hand off all the visual design to somebody else who was trained to do that. And they were a whole lot better at it than a lot of us. And a lot of us that are good at it, because actually UX people used to be terrible at visual design. It was so wonderful to have people who were trained to do UI work, interface work. People who had degrees in visual design. Can't touch them. Then now they want AI to do it, and nobody cares that AI keeps like repeating things. AI doesn't do things unique. You ever gone and played with those tools and have AI do an interface for you, and it looks just like the other interface that it did for like 500 other people? You've got to have the human element, but that's a bit of a UX maturity thing too, but I'm not going to get on that bandwagon, not today. We're going to wrap up by talking about, I kept mentioning boot camps, right? We're going to wrap up. For those of you who have not heard the news, Career Foundry is no more. Career Foundry is no more. Have you not heard this news? Folks, let me read for you. I'm going to actually, while I am here recording this episode, I am going to go to careerfoundry.com. And it's funny because it's ironic that it happened the way that it happened, because this is par for the course. Because I love how somebody said this, and this was somebody on LinkedIn said this, that boot camps were the biggest con of the whole UX movement. And they were. They were. Boot camps were terrible. Nothing against anybody who went there. It's funny, I'm looking at the page now, and they got an award from somebody that said, best boot camps 2023. Boot camps were always a losing proposition. It was a way for them to make money. They didn't do much good for the discipline at all. And any good that boot camps did was really pretty much nullified. What they did for the discipline was nullified by all the bad that they did. And best boot camps. That is absolutely hilarious. Forbes gave them an award in 2024. Best UX UI design boot camps. Even though just the use of UX/UI is a crime against the discipline. And so here they are using endorsements from other people. But my point is this. I'm going to forget my point. I'm just seeing things that I'm finding that are really tickling me. In the hero area of the page, it says career change programs with a job guarantee. Nobody could ever guarantee anyone a job in UX. Nobody can guarantee you a job anywhere about anything. And then they're telling you that you're guaranteed a job. That is one of the signs that lets you know that something is wrong. If anybody has a filter, if anybody has any level of critical thinking, you know that that is a huge red flag. It says right under that in the byline, go from learner to leading professional in as little as 5 months. Wait, hold. Look at this value prop statement. Go from learner to leading professional in only 5 months. You can become a voice. Now, you can fabricate it. You can fake it. That doesn't mean that you're it. But this is what they were selling people on the whole time. Snake oil. Boot camps have always been snake oil. And their ship is going down boasting about snake oil. But if you look at the bottom of the page, same page where they're find your new career. On the bottom of the page, it says, Career Foundry is seizing, S-E-I-Z-I-N-G, operations. Not ceasing, seizing. It is so ironic that they posted something to their page, no quality check, no nothing. You've got this. This is not a typo. A typo means that you probably hit the character next to the one you meant to hit. No, they don't know the difference between ceasing and seizing. That is absolutely hilarious. And it is so par for the course, so fitting that somebody who has been, who got rich off of selling people snake oil would post the message to their site that they are ceasing operations. And it would be not only center, it should be center stage on the page. It should be the predominant message, not trying to get you to buy something. That's not what should be there. That's not what's supposed to be the main thing on the page. That's on the bottom of the page like it's an afterthought. It's an aside. That's not an aside. That's the main message. But if you click it, there's a link there. It says Career Foundry has ceased operation. It's funny. On the previous page, it says that they're seizing. Somebody probably said it's probably still supposed to say seizing, but it didn't. So that's like future tense. Seizing operations. But it says Career Foundry has ceased. Now it's past tense. Is it past tense or is it future tense? Which was another next faux pas, if you will. But for many years, it says Career Foundry was a well-known provider of online trainings for digital careers. As a part of insolvency proceedings, Career Foundry has ceased operations as of February 28th, 2026. So take off that future tense message. No new courses are being offered. And existing programs are no longer being continued. They shut everything down. They are done, folks. Career Foundry is no longer a thing. And they took advantage of the fact they didn't have a sound level of UX maturity when they started their operations. They didn't. It was manifest the way that they did things. Not only did they lack in standard UX maturity, they lacked when it came to a part of the series that we've been talking about, educational, academic UX maturity. They lacked that. And that was manifested in the way that they structured. They had people taking courses who had low to no UX maturity. So there was no way for those people to know and say, you know what? No, I'm not taking that course there because you lack X, Y, and Z. Nobody was equipped to understand what they were being sold or what the value proposition that Career Foundry was offering was, so they couldn't say no. There were some people that said no. There were some people who found out after the fact or during the fact, and they would pull back. But this is just a little quick lesson in UX maturity, and practically no boot camps have anything to offer, truth be told. There are educational operations that have value. Eric Shoemake is offering a course on medical-oriented UX operations. He is doing a great job from what I understand. His students, shout out to Eric. People are learning a ton in the problem or in the program. People are learning a ton in the program that he is offering for healthcare UX is what he calls it. For those of you who are interested, go to hxrlabs.com. Check out what Eric is doing for those who are trying to learn about doing UX work in the healthcare arena. Phenomenal work. Absolutely phenomenal work. And I have a blog post on the Kaizen UX blog on Medium. If you go to uxuncensored.medium.com, you will see my blog. And I have a UX education resource where I actually have some updates that I'm about to put up there in the not too distant future, but there's some places where I recommend you can go to get a true education in UX, and you will not find traditional boot camps on these lists because they have always been a dangerous resource for people to tap into. Folks, there are people, there are resources where you can learn how to do UX the right way. And in doing so, they're not taking advantage of the zeal of people who are trying to come in. They're eager to learn. They're hungry to learn. They're trying to build a career. In many cases, sorry to say, only to be taken advantage of by folks who are offering some of these different quote unquote solutions out here. Don't buy into that stuff today, folks, because you know what? It's going to detrimentally impact you from a UX maturity standpoint. So that's all we got for you today, folks. Again, this is not an official part of the Harsh Realities of UX Maturity series. This is more of a potpourri today. So you can think of this as a UX potpourri on UX maturity, if you will, but it's officially not a part of the series. We will get back to the series hopefully next week. Depends. If something big happens that we need to cover, we will talk about that. But that's all the time that we have today. Thanks again, folks, for taking the time to tune into the show. Don't forget to check out kaizentees.com, KAIZENTEES.com, and our t-shirts, our mugs, all the purchases, all the proceeds that come from the purchases on that site go to help us do what we're doing on this podcast. So thank you again for your support. Tell your friends about us. Recommend the podcast. Tell folks to chime in. Tell folks to support us, to subscribe, to like wherever you can subscribe and like. And those things help us in the work that we're doing for the UX community as well. But we're going to go ahead and sign off here, folks. So until next week, this is Darren Hood, the host of The Word of UX, wishing everybody all the best. And until next time, happy UXing, everybody.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.